we can start.
Yeah, okay. Well, audio's live.
Okay, cool. So episode 496. 496. 496.
I know, right? Crazy. 496.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So a couple of things. I want to catch up with you. It's been like 2 weeks.
Has it? Has it really been?
It feels,
oh, wait, because it was Easter. Like 2 weeks. It was Easter.
It feels like 2 weeks.
No, because we didn't record the day after Easter. We recorded Monday. I don't remember.
It just feels maybe like it feels like maybe forever.
What's up, Aaron?
Aaron, good to see you. Good to see you, bro.
Good to see you.
It feels like 2 weeks.
I guess you're right, because last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and I don't think we recorded on the following Monday, right? And yesterday, yep. You were super busy. I was not so busy. I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to watch Game of Thrones, and I'm going to watch Endgame.
Right.
And then, I started St. Jude.
St.
Jude's fundraising, and I'm actually super excited about that. Like, it makes me nervous because, well, not nervous, like I'm scared to do it, but it's like that weird mental block to get over of like, oh my goodness, like what if nobody donates and wants to support, you know, the cause or what I'm doing. And I mean, that's always a possibility, but even if it was just a dollar, I think I'd be so incredibly excited, because that's a dollar that St. Jude doesn't have, and it's a dollar more for the kids and the family that really need it the most.
Absolutely.
But they started, it's interesting, they call it their prize season, even though you can raise for St. Jude throughout the year. And hey, welcome, Try.
Try, what's up, man?
Even though you can raise throughout the year, they have certain months where they're really pushing. So May happens to be that big one, and their prize season started April 26th, going through the ending of May. And they have incentives for the people who are fundraising of like, hey, you hit this, you get a hoodie, you get a cape. And then they just had their St. Jude Summit this past weekend, which I'm going to make it a personal goal to hopefully maybe be invited next year, because I think it's just amazing not only be with creative content, like content creators, but all have the same goal of just fundraising money for this hospital or just charity in general. And just like seeing all the tweets and the photos and the stories is just inspiring, to say the least. So of course you want to surround yourself with positive people who are doing good things for the world, doing good things for people. That's what you want. And hi, Lori.
Lori Price, good to see you.
So I started mine, I think every Saturday up until the ending of May, I'll be having 12-hour streams. And I was so incredibly amazed that I raised $200 on my first time raising for St. Jude's, and just
congrats
in general.
That's dope.
So it's a really, really great start, because I've only ever participated in Extra Life, and I always wanted to do more or other charities as well too. So I think this is a great start. So I'm like super excited. Although 12-hour streams, it's been a long time since I've had longer streams than my normal 3 to 4, which can be a little mentally taxing.
Right? Are you eating, hydrating, and all that good stuff while for that 12 hours?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Of course.
Okay.
Eating, like, I'll snack. I don't necessarily like eating on stream, but I don't really want to leave it kind of empty at the same time. So, snacks here and there, definitely hydrating, getting up and walking around, taking intermittent breaks, and then, you know, just trying out different games. So, I decided during those 12 hours, I'm going to, I constructed a whole list of just teen rated and below, because the families that are being helped by St. Jude are visiting, they actually do visit a lot of the streams, and it's kind of like, well, what do I want to play that I wouldn't mind kids watching? So being mindful of that, started up a game called Whisper of the Machines, which is a new game that just recently came out. It's actually
what was
really
the one you were playing, something about Portia or something like
I
that
I did not like that one. Okay. Oh my goodness. Like, it's really cutesy, but like, it was between Harvest Moon and My Time at Portia. And everybody's like, My Time at Portia. And the thing is, it like throws you straight into like grinding to get materials. I don't like that. I felt like this story was really severely lacking. And I'm like, I know I'm only like 3 hours into this, but I can't handle it. I can't. I'm so glad that I was like, okay, my stream's end. Well, actually, no. I didn't want to stream. And my internet cut out.
Okay.
Like in the last 45 minutes, I had internet issues like in the middle where like it completely dropped and I was dropping frames. I had to reset my modem and my router. But at the end,
what about Stardew? Are you planning to do that one?
No. I don't know. Something about Stardew Valley that it doesn't attract me. I don't really like. I know it's really popular. I'm not drawn to it.
Okay. Fair enough. But I like the music. Like, the music is really dope.
The music is nice. Yeah. But I think I'm definitely more Harvest Moon, which I do have that on the Switch. I was playing Tetris 99 too, so I'm glad that I can start streaming games from my Switch. So that's always nice. I'm gonna be doing that. And I have a lot of interesting incentives. Kind of scared.
Okay. What else have you been up to, Daniela?
That's kind of it. I found some really cheap tickets for TwitchCon. So I booked those as soon as my Google Alerts came up, which I think I'm just gonna be using Google Alerts for all of those things from now on. Usually I'm the type of person who, I don't know if it necessarily works, but I believe it does. So before, when I used to book my travel, I used to do like all my searches in my incognito tab where there's no cookies saved and everything like that. Check on it. I was a person who believed that like the cheapest prices is 54 days out from when you travel. All of those little things. Now I just set it for, I'll search it for like flights to where and the dates on Google, and then I'll set like alert, and then it'll send me an email. It's like, oh, the flight here is this price, or it changed to this. And round trip tickets to San Diego just turned out to be $358, which was the cheapest I've ever seen it. I was like,
that sounds cheap.
It is, because the last time I was in San Diego, my flight was like $550. So I'm like, okay, I'm not even going to hesitate. I'm going to book this now. So at that, I just don't have a place to stay or who we're staying with or like the full thing about who's coming with us.
Yeah, I still need a bed for E3. So.
Oh, I got to talk to you about that one after. Finally got a response back. I got a response back like a day, like yesterday. I'm like losing my track of my
day. I need a bed. I need a bed, Daniela. I need something.
Oh. Lose that. I mean, I haven't really been doing anything. I've been kind
of. Well, I got to check in, okay? Because I miss your face. We haven't talked for about 2 weeks.
It's my face.
Right? We, you know, on and off messages here and there. We slide into DMs, but that's about it. So keeping with the same theme of what I said I wouldn't do, like, right? So all the video editing that I've been doing for that thing, I'm not going to mention it. I'm going to let that organically grow because we kind of talked about that. I'm not bringing that up here, right?
Okay.
So I just want to see how much I can put into that energy-wise, which it's, I'm losing sleep over it, which is good in a sense because there's a lot of good that's coming out of it while still being able to manage the social media structure of the IG, the Twitter, and all those things. So I'm kind of leaving that project as really from the ground up. I want to see what it's going to look like maybe a couple of months from now and stuff. So there's that. And then also the thing we're going to talk about later on, which happened today, which I mentioned that I was going to talk about on the podcast. And so that was really, really neat. And that's really has been the main thing. A lot of video editing last week for Resurrection Week, if you want to call it that. I moved the schedule down for the streaming to like 10-ish. Everything will be back, normal schedule, so I can take that off the notes because I think I have that later. So everything should be back on the area of 6:15, 6:30 Eastern time. So we're going back up to that time slot for Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Gaming, doing that. A lot of church stuff. A lot of church stuff this week, too. A lot of editing. And just some content stuff flying around. That's about it. That's it.
You're a whole lot more like productive on the whole, the content creation stuff. I have videos I need to edit, and I just haven't had the time. Like I spent all of last week creating the graphics I needed for St. Jude,
right? Which looks dope.
Yeah, I had to spend some time there. I also had to spend some time like thinking about incentives.
Why are we speeding past that? That looks dope.
I'm not speeding past it. I mean, it's there. I think the hardest. No, I was like elaborating on it. The hardest part was just like sitting there and thinking. I'm like, what kind of like incentives I want to put on there? I'm like,
fair enough.
We'll see, and then how I want it to look, and okay. I don't know. You know, it's like, even though it's mostly a lot of text and just explaining, it's like trying to pick the right word so that it doesn't look so overly whelming. And I'm like, okay, hopefully these things, these keywords, whatever comes out. What's up, Taco?
Taco, good to see you, bro.
Taco's
about to change the game. I'm feeling Taco. Rue, what's up, man?
Yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, the most exciting thing I think I did in the last 2 weeks was yesterday when... Mm-hmm. So, yeah, episode 3 of Game of Thrones. I will not give no spoilers. This is spoiler free. But public service.
Cry?
Yeah. Public service announcement. Okay. Do not watch episode 3, season 8 of Game of Thrones and Avengers Endgame in a single day. That is way too much emotions.
Season 3?
Season 8, episode 3.
Okay, season eight. Because I'm still in season 3 somewhere. I don't even know where I'm at. But
it's way too much emotions for a single day. Like I cried a lot. I cried a lot. Like even in moments where people were crying, I was crying.
Oh man, so okay, so I should prep to cry. Is that what you're telling me?
Maybe. Yeah.
All right, so because you just watched Endgame. I'm going through the marathon right now. So the last one that we saw was Iron Man 2. And I think the next one for us is the Hulk, right? So we're kind of going through that.
You're going in order?
Yeah, it seems like it. Yeah, okay. It seems like it right now. So we're doing that. And we're really enjoying. I didn't realize how much of an Iron Man fan I've been until I started seeing, you know, him going through the process of creating the suit and fixing his, you know, nuclear reactor thing and getting the thing from his dad for the new element and then doing the new element and, you know, healing himself, if you will, to stay alive a couple more generations, if you will, whatever. So I didn't realize how much of an Iron Man fan that I am until I started watching the films again. So, I'm excited to go through that process again.
I want to go back and rewatch them all. Iron Man, the first Iron Man, is still my favorite Marvel movie out of, I think, what is there, 22?
It's really good.
That's still
really
like,
good.
It's Iron Man and then Guardians of the Galaxy. So those are like my top two.
It's really good. So I enjoyed that. So we're doing that. So just to give you guys a heads up, thank you guys for being here. This episode 496. You can check us out at theshowradio.info. We have the podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and all those places, which we'll link later on. So there is that. And I'm just excited to be here. 496. We're a couple away from 500. I'm excited to see how Daniela's videos are going to come out. I'm hyped.
It's been interesting. Like when I open up Premiere Pro or After Effects, I do go in, start editing. But then I get so hung up, and I'm not really complaining about this. I don't mind that I get hung up on just creating stuff and trying out different things and messing around with it. But I spend more time doing that. I'm like, oh, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
There is that.
Like, okay, I need to go to sleep. It's fun. It's fun to mess around. So I've kind of actually been playing around with different intros and trying out all these different transitions and creating these transitions, which then when you start that creative process, like there's so many other things that you're like, oh, but I learned to do this. I can do this. I can create that. And you get, it's more of like not even editing the video itself to put out. It's like, oh, look at all these different overlays. Look at all these different intros or outros or, call to actions that I can create that I'm like, do I really need this? But it's fun to learn something, to do something,
it's
to just get that.
It's fun. It's really fun. So guys, here's what we have for you this week. PlayStation 5 stuff, Nintendo Switch. We got some BioWare is fixing Anthem. We got that. Puyo Puyo Champions, River City Ransom stuff. Halo finds Master Chief, Riot Games stuff. We already talked about Stardew Valley, Death Stranding, Mortal Kombat. Astro A40 stuff and something I want to hold off to later. And we already talked about the streaming schedule stuff. So that's it. So Daniela, PlayStation 5, what's up?
Man.
What you thinking?
I still feel like I just got my PS4. I know it's been, okay, what, 4 years now?
Five so 2013? Years?
6 years?
I think it's 2013.
Oh my goodness. And I have I saw my day one PS4. I know I've like said several times that I have every intention of replacing it and upgrading it because it beeps at me and yells at me sometimes, but I'm very attached to it. It's my day one PS4 and I still feel like I just got it. Yeah, sometimes it likes to spit out my disc, or sometimes it just likes to yell at me and beep, ooh, for no reason.
Okay.
So that's kind of the issue, but I can still play games on it. It still serves this purpose. I'm kind of the type of person that white literally, like for shoes, I will use shoes until like they're falling apart. Like I will keep it and run it into the ground. And my PS4 is still going. So now to see that PS5, you know, is being talked about, it's good. Yeah. It like has an estimated, you know, release. It's kind of like, wow.
It's time to slow down.
Probably Hawaii's humidity and our salty air is not electronic friendly. I can tell you that. It really isn't.
So what do you need to do to send it for fixing and stuff? Or did you open it already for something?
I kind of opened it. I just got to replace that drive, that CD drive or whatever, the drive in there.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit lazy on that front. I'm like the type of technician that I don't mind doing it at work because I'm getting paid for it. But then when it comes to being at home, I'm like, I really don't want to. You're fine.
I'll just buy digital content.
No.
Take it to work. So you're in the environment where you're like, okay, I'm ready.
But, I mean, there.
You figure it out. You figure it out, Daniela.
By that time, PS5 is going to be coming out. And you know what?
Yeah.
Whenever the next edition, the next generation of Xbox comes out, I don't think I'm going to buy it. I don't think I am because looking at my Xbox One now, I have barely touched it.
Okay.
I've barely used it. And I keep saying, I mean, I love my PC and I'm not the type of person that, you know, I'll joke around about PC Master Race, but let's just get it out there. Like, if you have a decent enough PC gaming computer, it's almost pointless to own an Xbox because anything that's on Xbox, you can get it on PC. So what's
the
point?
Right, with the anywhere thing. Right.
I mean, the only factor that's kind of limiting you is, you know, how many friends do you have to play on that platform? Well, I don't really have too many that don't own a PC to game with that I play with now.
Right.
And sure, that limits me in the future playing those who are only console only. But right now, I can't justify it. I really can't. Because okay, the friends that are only console based, they also have a PlayStation and I can play with them on PlayStation.
Yeah. So let's build on that a little bit. I kind of feel the same way now. I don't know what's going to happen for that thought process to change. Like, even though there's certain games that I want to go back and play on the Xbox, like Halo Reach and some other things. In that regard, outside of those games that are super exclusive for that platform, I don't necessarily have an interest right now to play the Xbox. I mean, there's Gears and there's some other titles, you know, in the mix that I want to check out really to stream and just have that conversation while I'm on with, you know, individuals who come hang out. But so that's how I feel right now. That may change, but it has to be something, you know, really, really super dope for that to change.
Yeah. And which pretty much is what Ru was saying, the Xbox exclusives, they really need better exclusives. They
right.
do. And right now,
definitely agree.
It's just kind of, it's lacking. It really is.
Right. So by way of stats, PlayStation approaches 100 million in sales, right? That's what it says for that. The PlayStation 5 won't launch till 2020. And the appealing price. So let's talk about that. So what do you think? How much?
$450.
Okay. I'll go $399 again.
I think $450 is a nice medium round. I think that's where you'll have the least amount of complaints. Anything right. higher than that, I think there's going to be major complaints about it. Now, if the next generation of Xbox comes out and they come out at $399, I think that PlayStation will be that competitor that's like, all right, $350.
Okay.
But I think that's like at least for the release and probably for 6 months after that, I don't think they're going to drop below that $350 price range. I will be absolutely shocked if they do. But for me, I think $450 is a nice, safe, rounded number.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So that's what's going on with that. Switch.
Yeah, I finally started using mine a little bit more for my streams. I'm excited about that.
All right.
I got to try out Tetris 99.
I still got your headset sitting here. You got to beat me up.
No.
You have the right to beat me up.
No.
Is it sitting here? Yeah, it's still sitting here. It's sealed and still sitting here. So just know that your headset is here and you need to.
I should be like an early Christmas present to somebody.
You need to remind me.
I use these A40s for my Switch.
So you're giving it up? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Go make somebody.
You're telling me you want to give up this Zelda edition headset.
Yes. Go make somebody.
That's what you're telling me. Okay. You're so nice.
Because that's what I'm using is these A40s.
How about them A40s though?
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll
talk about it later.
We'll expand that a little bit later. So that's what's going on with that. BioWare is fixing Anthem. You excited?
No.
Why not?
I know that at one point my excitement for Anthem was there, and then my gut told me no, and I'm glad that I listened to my gut on that one.
Okay.
I mean, it's too little too late.
Mm.
I know that there's some really hardcore base like that is really loving the game, but they have done so much more wrong that I think it's going to be a bit before they fully recover and the interest is there. Kind of like what is that game? No Man's Land? No Man's something? No Man's Sky.
Man's Sky?
There you go. Sky.
That's
yeah, that
so
one.
Wrong.
It was like
That's
land.
So wrong. No Man's Land?
No Man's Jeez. Sky. But
okay.
I'm sure it will get there, but to everything that we've heard coming out about the game, about what happened behind the scenes, what led up to, you know, the release of the game, just sounds like a madhouse and really poor decision making, marketing. That's just bad.
Okay, so here's my thing with. Okay, so I have to be careful because there's certain conversations that I gotta make sure I word this right. Oh Jesus. Okay, so there has to be, hold on, I'm working this out in my brain right now. You had to have had a warning before you released it. Okay, that's safe. Before you released the game of what you were presenting to the world versus what you thought was going to be dope.
You mean that little thing and not actual gameplay?
I'm just saying there
could be different on release.
I can only assume with knowledge that there was a warning somewhere, okay, that you didn't take heed to. And because you didn't take heed to that, that's why you're in the mess that you're in right now. Because you had the behemoth of, you know, Massive's game, right? And you still have the extraordinary Destiny game, right? And then you're coming out in a world like that, right? Only with the PvE option. And then the last couple of weeks, we were looking at maybe 300 to 5 individuals on Twitch playing it. That doesn't include anybody else that was off stream, right? That is that fast, right? Dwindling that fast in terms of the numbers. There had to be a warning in there somewhere. And I have to word it like that because I'm trying to be faithful to some information that was shared. And the fact that you didn't act on that, you should blame yourself.
Really, though?
You should blame yourself. You should blame yourself. You know, because you look at, okay, so we always use Respawn. We always use, you know, Titanfall 2. We go with those conversations. And it's like, okay, you know, they learned. Respawn learned from their mistakes, right? PlayStation 3 into PlayStation 4, we talked about that, right? They learned. Microsoft is... They learned, right? Their marketing lessons that they had to learn, their mishaps, right? All these individuals, these teams have learned to some degree what wasn't, you know, super dope about what they were doing at the time to how they're presenting themselves now. So we can go down the list of a lot of companies, whether it's tech or non-tech related, that falls into that particular stuff. But you didn't take heed to the stuff. So you can't be surprised, right? Right. We got the actual stuff we're going to talk about later. There were changes that were made. I'm sure that came with some, you know, R&D. That came with some input from individuals from the outside to change, you know, the design of the stuff. The controller. There's, you know, so I can't be that empathetic. I can't be too compassionate. You know, I kind of feel that, you know, yeah, you know, there's probably babies born during the development. You know, there's marriage probably and all that stuff and all those things taking place, right? Birthdays took place, anniversaries took place. That's great, right? Because they're people, right, with jobs and they're doing their thing. But if you've been warned, you didn't take heed to the warning, you can't really be, you know, Mass Effect 2 into the other stuff that we've seen. Like, come on. Lori, thanks for the follow. I appreciate that. It's crazy. It's like, it's, I don't think, and you've seen so many other things too with other companies that you've even throughout your streaming journey, right? You've seen some companies do some nonsense and then you've seen some companies bounce back from that.
I'm not going to say that they can.
Right. You can't be mad. That's what I'm saying. You can't be mad. That's all I'm saying. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
I respect that. It's fair.
Can't be mad. But I'm glad that they're fixing it. So the plus side of it is it's a beautiful game, man.
That it is.
Like Anthem is a beautiful game. So I'm trying to be fair. Okay. Anthem is a beautiful game. From what I've seen and watched, it's a beautiful game. Okay. And I can't get past the fact that, you know, if you want to call it cinematography, if you want to call it, you know, graphics, if you want to call it, you know, the realm, design of the worlds and stuff like that, whatever you want to call it, that game is a beautiful game. But let's see what happens. Okay, so another beautiful game that they're remaking is 13.
Really? I must have missed that part. No.
Yeah, 13 is being remade. It's like a cel-shaded type shooter back in the day, so they're remaking 13. So I'm kind of hype about that because I used to play 13. I think I might still have it. Oh, snap, I do.
You're going to replay that?
I don't know if I can. I mean, I still have the original Xbox. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude! So they're remaking this. They're remaking 13. That's the original Xbox.
You got to pull out the Xbox and stream that.
Oh, the Xbox? Yeah, so I can do retro for you on the original. I have what? Spec Ops The Line, Homefront, Crisis 2, Guitar Hero, Counter-Strike? What do I have Counter-Strike? Unreal Tournament, and then probably some Halo stuff on the system as well. A lot of retro stuff on there.
Rue says, seems this pay-to-play persistence world with microtransactions model isn't working. It needs the free-to-play microtransactions.
Right. So free-to-play is going to work to a degree, and it's being tested right now with the Division game. Like, I'm trying not to talk about it, but I can't help it. Okay. Can't help it. Okay. Because it's doing so good. So the Division, what they did has been truly amazing. Right. We talked about that, and I'm not going to go into the whole The Division thing, but there's a lot of free content that they're releasing. And if that does well, a lot of companies that's planning to make games like The Division will follow suit. So the testing grounds, they're technically the guinea right now, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. You see Destiny 2, they're shifting and making adjustments, if you want to say, infusing different elements to bring, you know, another burst of energy back to the game for Destiny 2. So they're doing that. They're testing different things because they have to. Because you can only hold our attention for so long, right? And I think that what Division has done really well is compounded all the different events that you can do with the refresher of the stuff coming back weekly, right? Destiny has done that for a while. A lot of these games do, right? But it's overwhelmingly compounded with the Division 2 of all the different things that you can do. You're always getting flanked by a group of enemies. You never know if you're going to run into a super soldier while in the field. So they've done that really, really well with the fact that they're releasing a year worth of content at no charge. So they're giving you, you know, a lot of stuff for free up front. It's a great marketing strategy. Most individuals who do well with that particular thing, giving you a lot of value up front, without asking for anything, you end up staying hooked and then you buy. That's usually how it works. They get invested with the fact that you're offering so much value up front. If I'm continually giving you information about all those things that I believe that will help you, you know, whether you're trying to create content or not, you're going to be invested in that. You're going to be like, yo, this is information that people are paying for. This is free consulting. This is what it is. And you're getting that every single time without, you know, any limitations, right? You just show up, ask whatever you got to ask, and you're getting that for free from a lot of content creators, right? That's free consulting. And in turn, you basically are so appreciative of it. You support a lot of things that they do. So when they get to the call to actions of whatever the matter is, hey, can you purchase this? Hey, can you support me in that? You're freely going to support them because they've already shown that they're good for it. And that's what's happening with this particular massive game, pun intended. They created they implemented the marketing strategy that works. I'll give you a whole bunch of stuff up front for free. I'm going to make sure it's good. And then you're just going to love me after that. That's what it is.
That's a lot. You just dropped the whole lot of knowledge there.
It's, you know, I'm just here to hang out. That's why I'm here. I'm here to chill and hang out. So that's what's up. So that's what happened. How did we get there? What were we talking about before that?
13.
Anthem, right? So Anthem
is
beautiful.
What were we talking about? Anthem and 13.
Yeah, Anthem is beautiful. And I think that they just have to pivot a couple of things and then it'll be even greater than it has been, right? And I think that that's where we are. It's just about relearning those lessons. Sims 4 marketing plan. Yeah, and that's, it just works. It just works. There's no way that somebody can give you so much information for free or give you so much stuff for free that unless you're just someone who is never grateful about anything, if you have any fiber inside of you of being grateful for anything, then you're going to bounce back with, you're going to be part of that tribe, if you will, automatically. So what we got? We good?
Yeah, we're good.
We straight. All right, so that's that. So Puyo Puyo Champions. I don't know why I looked at it and got excited. Talk to me, Daniela.
What are you talking me? I don't even like Puyo Puyo.
See, I got excited when I saw it.
Really? What excited you?
The colors, I think.
Yeah, I guess that's nice.
I just
colors.
Got hyped. It looks like Tetris to me.
I like Tetris way more than Puyo Puyo.
Yeah, it looks dope. And it's $10. Which means nothing.
I don't know. It wasn't for me. It really wasn't. Okay.
And I say it means nothing because I rarely pay for anything. So with that mindset. But it's $10, and if you're a fan, it looks nice. I think localizing games that we don't necessarily have an opportunity to play all the time is a beautiful thing. And if you want to drop $10 on Puyo Puyo and you kind of like Tetris or Columns or any games like that, I think that's a good thing.
I think for me, it's more of I'm terrible at it. I am. And that's not a really fair assessment. It is. It's a very nice, colorful, and like the color scheme is bright. It's eye catching and it does its job on that one. The story is very interesting. But when I played it, I never felt like my skill as a player improved. Like over time, I felt like I just got worse. And I'm like, man, these players are so good. Like it kind of ruined my enjoyment for it.
Okay. So
for me, it's just not my type of game.
Okay. So there's that, there's the Tetris, there's Columns, there's Bust a Move, right? Back in the day, there's Bubble back in the days. I think that was Nintendo, if I remember correctly. All those games are really nice and colorful. I always enjoy them for that, at least. They've been pretty cool. So Puyo Puyo Champions, May 7th, if that's your thing, check it out. River City Ransom will have a all-female cast follow-up of the River City Ransom original game that was for Nintendo. Daniela, you got me River City Ransom Underground for Steam, which I'm forever grateful because that's my jam. So now they're actually making a all-female follow-up to the first game, which is the Nintendo version. Thoughts on that?
You still excited for it?
Absolutely.
I like those types
Absolutely.
Of games. Those are fun. Those are really fun. The little beat 'em ups and
yeah.
the little art style and the pixels. Oh my goodness. Those games
That's
are good.
That's my jam. that's my jam. So Halo finds Master Chief. So they finally cast Master Chief for the series that's about to come out. If that's your thing, I'm not as excited as I thought I was going to be about that. I'm not there yet. I need to see more.
Yeah, Halo's all you.
Yeah, I need to see more. I love Halo, which I think it's probably a perfect time for me to start playing the games again. I still have the collection for Xbox, so I may have to jump back into some of those games. But right now, I'm not there yet. I still love Halo, but I'm not there yet. So that's what's going on with that. Riot Games, I don't know how much we wanted to dig into this. Riot Games insulated from legal scrutiny as it relates to some of the things that's been happening with their staff and different things like that. Before we go into that, Capcom has a beat 'em up bundle on sale again for $11 on Steam, says Aaron Shack 64.
I have some stuff sitting in my cart right now on Steam, and I'm debating my life choices here.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. So I don't know. I'll definitely have a link in the show notes for the Riot game stuff and most of the stuff that we have here for $4.96. Where are you at with all that?
What do you mean?
And generally speaking, with the Riot game stuff.
I'll be honest. I don't dive into it as much and look as deep into what's going on. I know, the layer of what's happening, but I haven't really gotten down to it, which is kind of funny because we just had training at work for sexual harassment and discrimination at work today.
Okay.
Because we had an incident. So, I mean, it's not just in the gaming industry. It's widely out there. It might not be
right.
Might not make news. That's, you know, important to us here. But I don't know. I mean, what if you have discrimination lawsuits and then you're going to did they just pay them under the table to just be quiet? Here you go. Here. This is what.
Yeah,
here's your settlement.
Sounds weird.
Here's your settlement. As long as you agree to not speak against us and to just, you know, just drop it like that. That to me is shady. It is shady.
Right.
And you know what? I don't know to what degree. Maybe that's just an easy out because this thing's going to blow up. And some people aren't, you know, they're not really prepared to see, not that there should be some backlash to it.
Right.
But the internet is the internet. And just, you know, after the whole Gamergate thing, which I really don't even like using that word, but it's harsh. So maybe that was just the easier way for them. Me particularly, if there's something that I felt was wrong, there's no amount of money that you're going to get me to just stop. If I feel like it's something that's going to continue to happen, or if I don't see change or something about that, that's going to be changing. You're not going to quiet me with money. No matter what. If I feel there's other women who aren't brave enough to speak up, or even men, because men can be, you know, discriminated against and deal with that. It's not just women. Sometimes you just got to be that voice if you are a strong enough person to go through that, because it's not an easy road. It really isn't. So it just seems so shady. But at the same time, maybe they really needed that money for their family or something, or they're going through some financial tough times. That's just easier for them to take money. If it was money, if it was some just really low-key settlement behind it,
right.
I really don't know. But that's the impression that I get reading over it and seeing it. That's what I'm going to think. You know, I I'm not mad at them for just I'm done. I dropped it.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, when we see things like that, over time, it just implodes. Right. And I think that it seems that, could potentially be a ticking time bomb at this point, because it's not the first time we've seen Riot Games being mentioned, right? We hope it's the last time in terms of their fixing the stuff, as you mentioned, you know, echoing some of the things that you've mentioned thus far. And we just have to go from there.
Yep.
That's what's going on with that. Shovel Knight, great platformer. Apparently that particular game was developed in 3D. Didn't know that. That's interesting. So we'll have a link in the show notes for that. Talk to me.
That is interesting. I mean, you would never think, but, you know, video game magic.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love Shovel Knight, and it's a pretty difficult platformer, but it's really nice, really well done. If you love Nintendo stuff and you have a system that has Shovel Knight, and I think pretty much PC, PS4,
Xbox. Everything.
Yeah, for the most part, it's on everything. Shovel Knight is great. it's fantastic. So definitely check that out. Loot from streamers in Borderlands 3, that's going to be a thing as they prep the marketing for that. I think that's interesting.
I think that's coming up this week. I know there's a few streamers that have been invited out to go and see the reveal, and they're going to be streaming it, and you get a few days. And I think it's for those that are there and able to stream Borderlands 3, just by watching them, yeah, you just get stuff. I think it's an extension, a Twitch extension that they have enabled that's going to be making this happen. So that's pretty cool.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm digging that. So there's that. So look for that.
What I want to know is if that's going to be an ongoing thing.
Okay.
Because if they're making an extension, I think that'd be cool. I think that's a nice incentive. There's like the extensions. There's some people who utilize it really well and some people who just really don't care for it. But if there's like, I think for certain games, there's things called drops. I have yet to play a game that has that enabled. But, you know, you can get stuff for in-game content. And, you know, there's games that come out that have Twitch integrations, kind of like Dead Cells. They have that. Party Hard 2 has a Twitch integration. So if they start incorporating that to have, you know, viewer interaction or benefits, I think that's a huge thing. I think that's a really nice step forward. So I'm kind of curious if that's just going to be ongoing or is this like a one-stop, you know, show here. It's like, oh, we're just going to do it for this. So as a marketing ploy.
Marketing. Gotta love it.
But it would be cool because in the previous Borderlands series, you had the keys that, you know, they would post out to unlock loot boxes and stuff like that. And they kept that going on for a long time. And they still are. So the shift keys are pretty cool. But if they implemented and they removed that and just had it as Twitch extensions or whatever may be the equivalent to Mixer, I'd support that.
Word.
Push people to watch more Borderlands streams, that's for sure, and encourage people to stream Borderlands.
I love Borderlands. I may have to jump back in there again. So that's that. Death Stranding. I know that's your jam.
Totally my jam.
Okay.
So, like, so. The more I learn about this game, the more I realize I don't know anything about this game, and I love it. I love it. So I didn't see this this forum post or this thread post until you posted it. I didn't see this before. So somebody was really, really, really nice and posted a thread of just like really big bullet points of what happened during Kojima's talk at the Tribeca Films. And I'm just confused, and it's in the best way possible. That it also makes me nervous because it sounds like such a big endeavor to take on. And I'm not saying Kojima isn't capable of making these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But like the expectation, I kind of like that. I see where you're going, but I don't even know where to put my expectation levels.
But do you think you're going to be disappointed?
No. That's a great point. No matter how confused and lost I feel in this, I feel like I will not be disappointed whatsoever. Like what is kind of confusing me is like one of the bullet points I was telling you is that this game is about being connected and disconnected. That it is an open world, like multiplayer, but you're still playing by yourself. Like you don't really see the other players, which makes me think of like all the trailers that they put out with the handprints and you don't see the creature and the strings and the puppets. I am just like, I kind of get it. And I think I'm trying to find this bullet point right now that he brings up.
Question for you as you look for that. PlayStation 4 and 5 release or PlayStation 5 only? What do you think?
5. I think this is what's going to push the most sales if they were going to be released around the same time, which I don't think there's anything that I saw for an estimated date, but I feel like 2020 sounds like a good amount of time for Death Stranding to be done. And that is going to be a huge sale push for PS5. Like there's no doubt that it will be the exclusive. That would be a great opener for the console's release date.
So I got to follow up.
What's that?
Okay, a limited time exclusive and then PC or forever exclusive PlayStation 5?
Forever exclusive.
Okay.
That's where I am. Maybe it'll be on PC in like 5 years.
Okay. That sounds right. Sounds about right. Cool. So, you found your bullet
yeah,
point?
It is. So okay. One of the bullet points says, Kojima adds that to connect is the same as disconnecting away. Is connecting correct? Is it better to disconnect? And wants player to think about this theme in their own lives in the world. And I was like, that is such an interesting thing that disconnecting is connecting, which like it's straight off the bat, if you really want to think about it, and I'm probably thinking way too deep in it, but I feel like there's another hidden message behind that, is that the best way to connect with the people around you is to disconnect yourself from social media. But at the same time, if the people that you want to be connected with, I mean the most mm-hmm. to you, and they're not within physical distance of you, then the best way to connect to them is by connecting on that social media platform or whatever it may be. So it's such an interesting, just, I don't know, maybe I am just like thinking way too deep into it, but I feel like with the mind that Kojima has, there's like multiple meanings. Like he is Mr. Miyagi of like, the world. I don't even know. Ruru says we're playing checkers and he's trying to tell us about 3D chess.
I know. I was just reading that. Yeah, he's pretty intense. I just want to mention, still moving through our notes and everything, if you guys have any questions that you want to ask as we wrap up towards the end of the episode, that's probably going to be after the conversation I had today with someone I've looked up to for a while, and I want to share that with you, how that went. Pretty much after that, if you have any questions that you want to line up for us, you know, or just Daniela or whatever, however you guys want to work that out, just feel free to do that. I think I really want to go back to that because you spend, you know, a lot of time with us and we appreciate that. So we want to get to a place where we want to kind of assist and give back as much as we can towards the end. So however many questions you have, you know, I've been asked, Daniela, I just want to tell you this while we're here. I've been asked, well, can we ask questions? I don't know if I should ask any questions. This is the perfect time to ask any question you may have about whatever.
Always
ask questions. As we wrap up.
Always.
Yeah. So feel free to do that. Prep that, you know, however you want to, you know, do that. If you don't have any questions, we'll wrap up. We'll close. We'll do call to actions and we'll be out of here. If you do, then we'll love to get those. All right. So.
There's never really a bad time to ask a question. If you're always waiting for like, I'm waiting for the right moment. That right moment to you might never come. So ask it while you can.
Right. Please do. It doesn't matter if it's a tangent. It doesn't matter if it's completely off topic. I don't care.
So
that's cool. Huge.
My last thing about Death Stranding is that Norman Reedus did say that players will cry when playing the game and you will be emotionally invested. For me, those are the best games when you are so invested in the characters and the story that you have an emotional connection to it. Those like video games can be so much more than this visual interaction. And I guess by physical, just like by playing it, it's a mental thing. It's an emotional thing. When you can get those other two senses in there, it's like, it's great. It's memorable. It lasts. Ruru asks, are DC movies dead now that the Avengers made all the monies? No, I don't think so. People might not like how DC makes their movies and what they do, but people are going to watch them because they have, I think, the more memorable characters. It's like, you know Iron Man, you know Spider-Man, but I can tell you most likely growing up, if you didn't watch or didn't read as many comics, you probably grew up with Batman. You probably grew up with Superman because they've been, even though they've kind of been around the same time, I feel Batman and Superman has had more, I guess, movies and TV shows about them than any of the Marvel characters. So I don't think they're necessarily dead. It's just that when it comes to their movies, not necessarily their TV shows, but DC TV shows are amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, no.
Yeah,
well,
I'm with you. I'm along the line with you, but go ahead.
Okay, so they changed Batman so much, he isn't the Batman we grew up with. Well, the same thing happens with comic books. Like, whenever they do a reboot of the universe, for whether it be Marvel or DC, when you have a new writer, a new artist, you're going to get a whole new type of Batman. You're going to get a whole new type of Spider-Man. The story kind of stays the same, but essentially they do change. So depending on what series and what era, you might not have the same character that you knew. It's always ever growing. And sometimes they change the characters based of what's going on, you know, in our real world situations. So he's more akin to Frank Miller's Batman comic.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it really, really depends. And it's always going to be like that, no matter if you're a Marvel fan or a DC fan.
I love it. I'm with you, Daniela. That was I'm good with that. Sweet. So Death Stranding, Mortal Kombat 11, you played, right?
I started to. I don't play a whole lot of fighters, but I couldn't turn away Mortal Kombat. I really couldn't. Okay. I'm not going to lie. It really is because of the blood and the gore and how intense those fatalities can be. That's like, I was really on the fence and I bought it at the very, very last moment. I grew up with Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. I was more drawn to Mortal Kombat because that was the game of like, no, you shouldn't have that. It had all of that controversy, had all these things where our ESRB ratings, Mortal Kombat and Night Trap is where we got our ESRB ratings from. So it's kind of like, I was always drawn to it and I couldn't turn away. I really tried to, I really did. But I am
Is it good, you think?
I think it's good. I'm enjoying it. I mean, I'm really terrible at doing, you know, juggles and strings and combos, but I'm a professional button masher, okay? nobody has better button mashing skills than me. But the story is awesome. I'm liking it. I started it last Tuesday. I didn't get to finish the... I made a streamer boo-boo. I didn't pay attention to whether my download was done. I thought it was because it said start playing, so I just assumed it's done, and I went to go do the story, and I'm like, you mean it unlocks in an hour and 26 minutes? I'm like, oh, man. It didn't fully download. I was only able to access stuff. So I started the story late in my stream, and I didn't get to finish it in a single one. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going to guess I'm halfway through the story. Who knows? I'm going to play more of it tomorrow. I'm liking the characters. I'm liking the story and where it's going. And Altago Justice says MK11 is so good.
So good.
It is. It's fun. I might not be able to remember combos, but you know what? It's not taking away from my enjoyment at all. And there's so many characters. It's so good.
Yeah, it looks very, very, very crazy. Very, very brutal from what I've seen. So there is that. Mortal Kombat 11, what would you rate it if you had to rate it, give it a letter?
If it was a living, breathing review that may change, I would give it a B+.
Okay, fair enough.
B+ right now. I feel like I'm not fair enough to do this because I don't play a whole lot of fighters that I can compare it to, but compared to like Street Fighter that I've played, Tekken. Okay, you know what? Take it away. It's because of Tekken. I like Tekken more than Mortal Kombat. That's why I guess the B+, where Tekken 7 gets like the A.
Okay. I mean, that's fair enough. That's good. That's good stuff. So there's that. So I've been seeing this game called A Plague's Tale. I just threw it in there. I don't know if you've seen anything with that particular game. It's about a lady protecting, I believe, a boy from...
Her brother.
Okay. And then the rats and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's during the Black Plague. I believe it's in France. It's about a sister and a brother. And she's trying to help them and save them. And that is supposed to be a very emotionally drawn thing. I want to say they announced that not... Oh, what comes right after E3? Not Gamescom. Was it at PAX last year? Yeah, I want to say it was possibly PAX West that I saw it at. Because I saw it after we came back from E3. I don't think they announced it at E3. But it looked really, really good. One of those really touching stories. So, and I like those. Okay. I like games that make me cry. I don't necessarily like crying. No.
Would you play it like right away? Or would you wait till you hear more? Or how are you feeling about it?
Oh, I want to play it. It sounds like I want to wait to hear more about it. I want to play it. Now, if I'm going to play it on day one, I'm not too sure. Like, I feel certain titles, even though I really want to play it, I can hold off on it for a bit.
Okay.
So that one kind of is, but it is definitely on my must playlist.
So Plague's Tale, we talked about. Okay, so Echo Fox Team, which we believe this particular thing. I appreciate that, Taco. This particular news article didn't fly in a lot of different outlets that I thought it would, right? I think Engadget Picked it up. Deserto, I think I'm saying that correctly. Maybe not. That was the first sign of that particular article with Rick Fox, who used to play basketball. I think 13-year vet. Retired a while ago with the whole team, the Echo Fox thing. Daniela, I guess give us some additional scoops on that, and then we'll kind of talk about it a little bit.
So in an email, he was explaining, Rick Fox was explaining that he has intentions to leave, which is always the way that's worded is the intentions to leave. I found very interesting. So it's not like he's officially leaving yet or has come to that conclusion, but he's pretty much like one foot is already out the door kind of thing, which is a really sad thing because, I mean, it's something that he helped build and helped grow. And this is based off of, I wouldn't say it was a matter of, you know, disagreeing or anything like that. It was just accusations of racism that was happening behind the scenes with another shareholder. So I'm thinking he's leaving because it's just like, obviously, you don't want to deal with racism in a workplace yet be a shareholder with somebody who has those viewpoints, whatever comments were made. Emails were confirmed, or it was confirmed about the emails that he's talking about and what happened. Why not make the shareholder leave that's being accused?
Right.
I mean, this is something that kind of has your name on it, that you've kind of been a part of. It's like, here, I bought this house that I'm kind of co-owning with somebody, but my name's on the house. I guess I'll leave and they can have the house. Like, why? I don't know. I feel like that is his way of saying, if you don't do something about this shareholder, I'm gone.
Right.
And I think what would speak even louder on top of that is if the players under Echo Fox say, if he leaves, we leave. But then there's always a matter of money. Always.
Right.
Always a matter of money. So Rue says, I want to leave, but I can be persuaded to say if there was more money. I don't know. Yeah. There's some things like money does play a lot of things. It greases a wheel and, you know, it can be a very greedy thing that people want to go after. But if you have your morals that you stick very strongly behind, that you don't want it to diminish who you are, no amount of money will get you to stay.
Mm.
Because if he built up and invested and created Echo Fox, he can do it again. And I can tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if players from Echo Fox moved over if he created another team, another organization.
Right.
They have done, I feel like, over the course, I don't know how many years now, I feel like it's been a long time I've been hearing Echo Fox's name.
2015, I saw a year, 2015, I believe, in an article that was listed. I think that was the Engadget one, or it's the bottom. Maybe they listed a year. I don't know why 2015 is sticking out in my brain right now. Fox was one of the first people from traditional sports to embrace professional gaming after retiring from a 13-year NBA career. Well, okay, in 2015, under the Vision Venture Partners banner. So
he bought a team.
Gravity. Yeah, he bought a team, a Major League League of Legends team in 2015. Okay, gotcha.
This is a smart investment.
Yeah.
He saw something that was growing, and you know what? It's gotten better. And I feel like Echo Fox has been a part of improving and growing the esports scene.
Right.
And obviously for far more than just League. They've dived into, I felt like, it feels like everything. So if really it is as it is, I think they called it, in quoting from Engadget, pure racism. I think you're just not willing to work with somebody who has that mindset. I just feel like it shouldn't be you who leaves the organization.
Right. And in the other conversation that came up, because Lori and I were talking about it, there shouldn't even be an investigation for that. Like, if it's happened more than once, like, what more do you need before some action gets, I don't know.
I guess they really got to go and do their homework and just really dive into it and then see the plan of action. Especially, like, if it was a player that was like that, they'd be dropped like this. But it's a shareholder. Right. It is somebody who puts money into their stuff. Like, there's far more that they need to do and think about and how to exit stage right from this person.
Right.
But with a buyout, you want to make sure you are making a profit from your property. Typically, it's a transaction between two shareholders.
Hmm.
So there's a whole lot more into it and how to approach it. You can't just drop them. So
absolutely.
So yeah, that's how I feel. Like if he has his intentions to leave, I think that's what it is that I think not only is his money going, but it's just his name. It's his reputation. It's his face.
Right.
So they're losing a lot more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what's going on with that. Impressions, A40 and Mix Amp, Daniela, how are you liking it?
I love it. that's to casually sum it up. I love it. The sounds, I didn't think. I love my previous A40s, which I have right here. The runs that I was using it right before it. I didn't think the audio could get any better, to be honest. I didn't. But with their new revisions, it sounds deeper and clearer, which I didn't think was mm-hmm. possible. Mm-hmm. And this mix amp, let me get this right here. Let me unplug it. This mix amp is sick. It's so simple. And you know what? Okay, so my biggest thing that I didn't realize how much I disliked is how the old mix amps had some connections on the bottom. Now you only have the headset on the bottom, which is obvious. It's just easier to plug in, plug out. But everything's in the back now. And it has the switch for the PC. The PC and console, which I think is a whole lot better than the button option that they had. I wasn't too much of a fan of that, but this easy toggle switch, love it. I do. That's like my biggest thing. I don't know what more I can say. I've been enjoying it. I like the change of the look of it though. I am like all my controllers and everything. I like everything just a solid black. That's why I chose this. This is why my controller is black unless there's a blue option. This I got. Like I can't hear the conversation if I can't talk to you. Hold on. Let me switch.
Fancy.
But with this one, oh my god.
She's fancy.
I didn't think I would like silver so much. This is ridiculous.
I was talking about you before you put the headset on, but
just having these little accents here, the silver, and then this, oh my goodness. This dark blue. It's like they read my mind, and I'm like, this is the design that I love. I do. And this thing, I never realized how unstable this can be, because the previous A40s that I had before this, not to say that I don't try to keep my stuff, you know,
right. Pretty,
you know, I take care of it. I did right. break it. And this is this part right here, I guess where you can adjust it, was a little bit brittle from wear and tear, and it actually did break. This feels a whole lot more sturdier and solid. So I'm in total appreciation of the changes that you made. See, even this, I can notice a difference in the sound. It's interesting.
It's really good. It's really good. And I think that I'm just getting in a groove of using it. I'm still running two mix amps right now because there's a ground loop noise that I hear. I hear a hum when I do the aux cable from the new mix amp to the PC, but I have a workaround, which I don't know. I don't know why it's doing that. So I'm considering getting a ground loop noise cancellator and trying it with that and see if that takes care of that particular challenge, if you will, with the previous mix amp. So I'm totally great with everything that you said. So I'm not going to repeat that. With the previous mix amp, I didn't have that particular challenge where there was a noise when I plugged into the PC. So right now I'm running one for the PC stuff. So I'm running the white one right now. And then PlayStation 4, I strictly run the new mix amp. So that's how I have it set up. And in terms of, you know, build quality, all that stuff is great. The Astro software, when I plug into the PC, the Astro software is not recognized by the new mix amp. So I'm going to probably do some more testing on that. But outside of that, the unit is solid. And I think that if you have the option to get a mix amp, a combo, I've used, this is my second mix amp from Astro. I still love the first one. And the first one is still getting use even with the new one out. So that should tell you how good their quality build is.
I'm going to go and find my old one.
Okay. So yeah, so that's what's going on with that. So I did do an unboxing for it that is currently on my YouTube channel. And I did some snippets of the unboxing on my social channels, the Instagrams and the Twitters and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I think that if you have the budget and you want a quality build headset with Mixamp, I think Astro is the way to go. If you don't have the budget, but you want to put it on a list because your birthday is coming up or something like that, I think you should. That's where I would go with that.
So somebody messaged about Hawaiian humidity. I do have a negative, though, about this. It's not all positive, but this is more of choosing the material. This is why I wanted to go and find my other one. I don't know how well my webcam will catch this, but the material that they have, not necessarily on the casing itself, it's this under this part here. I don't know.
The felt?
Yeah, the felt. I don't know. I should go ask them what exactly this material is. But it's the same thing that's on their controller, which is going to make me kind of nervous on the C40s. But it's also the same material on the old one that they have on the side here. Well, now, with really humid areas like Hawaii, not saying that this is going to be true for anybody, but if you live in a very humid place, especially salty humid area, this right here starts happening, this stickiness, that it starts to affect that material, and over time it just gets tacky. I don't know what causes it. It's not like I keep drinks or foods around my electronics that I would spill it on it or get on it. It just happens.
They didn't do that. They didn't do that on the white one. I think the white one, the sides on the white one is all plastic. They didn't do that on the white one. So I don't know why they chose to go that way with that model.
I think it's I don't know. Maybe they just didn't have it in a white color, because I think it's only on their, I know my son has his white Mixamp over there, but I that's like something I don't like. I mean, it feels nice. It looks nice, but it's just for areas where, you know, if you live in Hawaii, it doesn't last. I want to say I had the older, I want to say I've had this one for maybe almost 3 years. My previous set, my original, my 2012 Mixamp, again, I wish I never got rid of it. I talked about it before. That one was really, really bad. That was very quick for it to turn to this sticky feeling. I don't know what it is or why it does that, but it's just that material. And sadly enough, I think the C40 has that as well too.
So you can hear me, right, Daniela?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So Lori says, I think that's why he has one step out a door in relation to the Fox thing. I wanted to mention that.
So I'm going to see about over time. I'm very curious about what happens with the C40 controller, because it kind of has that similar material that the Mixamp has, if not the same. Want to see how it does over wear and tear. And that is pretty much my only gripe. And it's not like they can cater to whatever all environments it is. It just happens that I've only ever experienced this living here. They don't last. So it's something to consider if you're based out in Hawaii about purchasing something like this. And thank you. We are an Astro household over here, and my son had to bring me his. No, the white one. Are you talking about this white Mixamp?
Yeah, that's the one I have. Does it have that felt weird thing on the side?
Yeah, it does.
I don't feel it.
It does. This portion right here. Just below, like, it's the middle layer. So the top part is plastic. You have that middle layer, the connections.
So Hawaii doesn't like that, is what you're saying.
Mm-mm.
Gotcha.
Because it even starts discoloring. This is why we don't really buy a lot of
white electronics. It is discolored. Yeah.
So it starts, it's like one of the first things that starts discoloring and starts having that tacky thing.
That one is dope. That one's the jam right there.
Yeah, we're definitely an Astro family inside this household, because this one's my son's. This one's mine. He has his own set.
Yeah. I used the white one for PlayStation for a long time.
Really? I thought the white one was for Xbox.
I used it for PlayStation.
Oh.
It was branded Xbox, but when you go into the software settings, you could adjust the levels so you don't get the feedback, and it works fine with the PlayStation.
Okay.
And PC mode.
But yeah, that is 100% my biggest gripe. Because I know I'm just going to have to just deal with it being sticky. I haven't found anything to protect that type of material. So if you happen to be an Astro user and you're Mixamp and you know how to prevent that from happening, let me know. Or even if you have an electronics that uses, because I know there's other products out there from other companies that use a similar material for their products. Yep, still haven't found a way how to prevent this, and it drives me incredibly mad because I don't. It's not even like we touch it a whole lot. His sinus sits there. The only thing we really touch is the turn dials.
They should allow you to change the case.
That'd be nice. Kind of like
that'd be really dope.
Kind of like how if you could have your own little mod kit replacement set, like the headsets,
right?
And just customize it. That'd actually be really cool.
Yeah, the faceplates and the sides. That'd be cool if they did that. But that's previous generation stuff, so they may not invest that kind of stuff on there, that kind of money on that.
But it's a nice change. A nice change. And this one has a lot more weight to it. It feels a whole lot sturdier compared to this one. And like I was mentioning, so the older version had connections on the top and the bottom, the top. And now it's just on the top. I like that the turn dials, they changed the size of the turn dials. They're bigger. They're easier to notice, easier to grab, especially the mix amp part for the game and the voice audio. I like that. And I kind of actually like that the buttons, like this one, the buttons are flush. Right. I kind of didn't.
Would you recommend it for a new individual getting a headset for the first time?
Honestly, no. Even saying that from an Astro partner, I would honestly say no. I've been asked that before, and funny enough, a few weeks ago, I had a friend who was looking for a headset for his son. Like, his son wanted to get into gaming. He plays on Xbox, and he asked me for recommendations. And I was like, yeah, go get the, like, I told him about Astros, and I like this. But I also, if you are on a budget, I'm the type of person that I feel like headsets like Astros don't go straight for the A40s and the A50s.
Would you do A20s?
A10s and the A20s. Yeah, I would go with that. Okay. I think that's for that, if you're really super casual in playing, that is a better investment than, you know, dropping some Benjis on the A40s. Just because I money doesn't just grow on trees. I'm not gonna tell somebody.
Like, you sound like a mom.
Because you know, a lot of the times I'm asked, it is from parents.
Right.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, a lot of the people that ask me these questions, they don't play a whole lot of video games themselves. They're looking for their kids, and obviously your kids are always gonna want the most expensive thing.
Right.
But you can still get the same great audio quality, same use. Just don't go for the top line straight off the bat. Now, if you're one of the supportive parents, they're like, oh, my kid wants to do all the Fortnite competitions and qualify for this and wants to do something serious or get into the competitive scene, then yes, go for the A40s, go for the A50 models and get those. If you have a teenager that just plays like Fortnite or whatever game casually on the weekends, A10s and A20s. Plus, if you have a younger kid, A10s and A20s, indestructible. They'll last through your kids. And if your kids can keep that thing good, you know what? Maybe in like two Christmases, they'll deserve an upgrade to go higher up the chain there. You're a working adult that likes playing video games? Then yeah, I can't, like, I can recommend the A40s. A50s, I'm still in the line about, only because if you have a 5 gigahertz wireless network in your home, they clash. So you have to keep that in mind about what your Wi-Fi is set at. If you have it's 2.4 gigahertz wireless network, then yeah, sure, go ahead and get the A50s. Wireless is so much easier. You don't have to deal with a whole bunch of wires getting in your way, but just be mindful of what your Wi-Fi is at.
It's good.
That's where I'm at on it.
That's where you're at?
Yep. You know, I will be that person. You can go to astro.family/MissDJM and save yourself 10%. Just saying.
Please do. Save yourself some money. That's all good. So today's been an interesting day, right? I think I'll rewind, actually. Let's go back a little bit to...
I have one more thing to say to keep in mind. Okay. So, you know, Astro's always has the Xbox model and the PlayStation 4 model. Biggest difference, and I think what might be the only difference other than color, is that the PS4 model has Dolby audio, but the Xbox model has the option to also have Dolby Atmos. So I think those are the biggest differences between the two, other than color.
Yeah. So there's that. So if you're on the market, you heard Daniela, you know, Take that data and figure out what you want to do. But yeah, Astra's is really dope. There's some other headsets that we can recommend, and we can go from there. But yeah, so last year sometime, I started reaching out to this awesome content creator, and we were going back and forth in the DMs for a while. And I think this is a testament for any individual who's thinking about creating content, right? And there's a lot of conversations that happen between other content creators, and sometimes they're too busy to even have a conversation, that kind of a thing. But when they finally get to a place where you can meet them and you have a conversation with them, I think it's really fantastic. So today, for a couple of months now, I've been trying to find the best way to have a conversation with this guy, okay, which I consider my mentor from afar because I learned a lot from him through his podcast and his streams. So I finally got a chance to have a conversation with Professor Broman, right? So we had a 20-minute conversation sit down today. Professor Broman, if you don't know, he's big on the Destiny streamer, Guardian Con guy. You know, he's a co-owner of King's Coast Coffee, right? So he had an event on Sunday. The event was like a play live, and you get to ask him questions and stuff like that. I was supposed to be at that event on Sunday. We had the tickets and everything, but right after, you know, service and stuff like that, the event was supposed to be 5 to 8. I think that's what it was at a Micro Center here in Long Island. And I felt weird leaving where I was. It was a family dinner to go to that event. So I was like, if it's still in the cards, you know, God willing, I'll still be able to talk to him before he goes back to Florida, right? So so I stayed at the thing, right? I was at the birthday party last night. You know, great time, great fellowship, all that good stuff, great food, all that, right? So I got home, you know, Danielle's asking me, hey, so, you know, what you thinking about recording and stuff like that? Last night I was white because the Saturday into Sunday I was streaming till like 5 a.m. Right. So there was that.
Crazy.
So there was that, right? There was that. It was fun though. It was fun. So, and I think that being able to have that conversation with Professor Broman, who's, you know, someone I respect and the space was humbling, encouraging for me at the same time. And I think the real thing I want to push in that particular conversation is if you don't create an outlet for yourself, then the individuals that you want to have a conversation with, you'll never be able to have that conversation. So that's where I wanted to go with that. That's the angle I wanted to play with it. So not the fact that it was Professor Broman, but it's a person that you really want to talk to, whether it's a fashion industry or tech industry, hardware industry, and you don't have a platform to put yourself in a position to even invite them to have those conversations. So I just want to stop there for a minute and just think about that a little bit. Because if you want to have conversations with certain individuals, if you don't have the platform, you can't have it. You can't have it. So what was interesting is I think that a lot of these bigger content creators in terms of numbers, because he has the numbers, you know, on he has the numbers. He's one of the guys that's up there with along with his brother and some other cats, you know, and other streamers that you know that have at least, you know, 300 plus concurrents on a regular basis, right? That kind of a thing. So having somebody who's that busy with charities and all the different things that they do to remember that you've been contacting them on the DM and even go look at your stuff to decide if they want to even be a part of it, because his name is now going to be associated with a conversation that he had with another content creator, right? And if his initial impressions of my content was crap, then we would never get to a place where we would have a conversation like that. So it was a 20-minute conversation. We talked about, you know, his company, King's Coast Coffee. We talked about that. We talked about streaming stuff. We talked about him growing up. And I think that one of the things I was mentioning earlier to, I believe, Taco, is I was saying that when it comes to creating content like that, it's going to be remembered in the hearts and minds of the individuals that watch it. But at the same time, it's always going to be a stepping stone for, you know, other content that you're going to create, right? Because what's going to happen is when individuals go to wherever that content is and they see the individuals that you've spoken with in the past, it's just social proof, right? And they'll give your content another layer of respect that they probably wouldn't if they saw certain individuals and didn't see certain individuals. And that's just the way it works. So podcasting is still growing immensely, right? But podcasting in its purest form is not video content. In its purest form, it's audio in an RSS feed. That's podcasting in its purest form. So if you want individuals to see your content for social proof, they need to see video, which is why one of the videos that I want to create is the field production stuff that I use on the road, right? So when I was setting up the mics and stuff like that, one of the things that Professor Broman said, he was like, dude, I've never seen somebody connect XLR mics into a phone. How are you doing that? So for someone who's seen so much content and even bigger production content, because he was on the Gary Vee podcast. So seeing content like that and being surprised with stuff like that. And I think that, which is why I push the, if you want to call it that, I push the products that I push because I know they work. So I have a tripod, a phone clip, two mics, a splitter, an audio adapter, my phone, and I have a memory on video and audio because that's two pieces of content, right? So I have the podcast now of the audio of me talking Broman, right? I have the video, which is the larger piece of that content, which is 20 plus minutes. Then I can cut pieces of that, right? Instagram, Twitter, whatever, right? So I have that forever, right? And I think that when we say, you know, we don't have enough, you know, stuff to start with and all that stuff, which is why I'm always encouraging individuals to do like the very basic things as it relates to hardware to have great results. Like nobody that was there today did anything like that. Nobody. Okay. And, you know, there was a decent amount of individuals there. And I think that that should be encouraging to you, the listener, you, the viewer. Like it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. It's just a little bit of social proof, you know, some basic equipment that work that you've tested, you know, tested at home, tested with some other individuals. Let it run for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. See if the card, you know, is enough on the phone. Give yourself that opportunity to create awesome content. Now, as I was mentioning earlier, too, what's going to come with that is there may be some haters, right? Because there's a lot of people who watch Professor Broman, but not a lot of individuals can say they actually sat down with him and had a conversation. Not a lot of people can say that, right? You can go to Guardian Con and experience Guardian Con because he's one of the organizers there. You can go to the event that he did on Sunday, right? Which was 200 to 300 people. And then maybe they did a Q&A afterwards, but not a lot of individuals can say they had a 20-minute conversation with just Broman, right? And I think that if you don't have a platform yet and you have a particular niche that you want to get into, you need to set yourself up to win, if you want to say that, because you're going to put yourself in a position to even, you know, have social proof. Because the new business card is not the business card. The new business card is your content. That's the new business card. If you haven't realized that yet, right? So the new business card is the project that I'm currently working on, which I'm not really talking about, right? That project is the new social proof for things that I've done or currently am doing. You know, the social proof is the upcoming video content Danielle is going to create, right? That's the social proof, right? Because it's bits and pieces and seconds that people can vibe to immediately. They're not going to go to your stream, your 4 or 5 hour stream to look for that content that was dope in that moment. They're not going to do that. They're going to go to a 60 second clip, 30 second clip on your Twitter, your Instagram, and you need to have those things already cut, already available, already tagged, and all those things, right? Which is why I'm spending so much time on creating that kind of content now, because that's the content that's actually showing people, oh, right? And that's what you need. But if you're not there and you have a phone and you have a laptop and you haven't created yet, I encourage you to create. I encourage you to create. So now, once I start pushing that content out this week, and let's say he reshares that on those platforms, and the fact that we have a different relationship now, and what I mean by that is it's one thing to see the person content, it's another thing to have a conversation with them on the DMs, but if that person reflects the person that you meet, that's a whole nother thing. So now it's like you're really you, right? So there is that. So great conversation, 20 plus minutes. I'm going to cut that up into different pieces. I'm going to share it out. And I'm looking forward to getting that podcast into the feeds. That's going to probably have its own number. Probably going to be 497, 498 very, very soon. And that's all I got. Daniela, what's up?
I'm not going to throw any shade because we did get a couple of bags of the King's Coast coffee like last April, somewhere around there.
Yes, we did.
It was pretty good. I liked it. Although it did have to encourage me to go get a coffee grinder because they were whole beans. But then that kind of also spoiled me for coffee. But, you know, I'm not throwing shade. It still doesn't beat Kauai coffee.
I need more. So you got me?
I got you. I'll get you some Kauai coffee.
I appreciate that. So that's really all I have. I'm really, in this season, I'm encouraging individuals that I love and I care for to create. So if I'm spending that much time and it seems like I'm repeating myself, it's because I believe that you can do it, right? It's a constant conversation with me and Daniela. It's a constant conversation with me and Taco. It's a constant conversation with me and Lori as of recent. It's a conversation that I've had with Aaron. I can name individuals that I've had this conversation with. You got good stuff. You have the potential to do it. You should do it.
And there's a lot of people who are living proof of just starting with the basic. Like, we've had iPod King Carter. We've had him on the show before.
Right.
He started off as a YouTuber. And you know what? He started off with just loading videos from his phone. That's what he started off with. He could only upload videos from his phone. And, you know, now he's doing a lot of different things. And it all just starts from just utilizing and leveraging of what you have available to you now. It's kind of like also the reason why I don't necessarily like telling people what they should buy to do something.
Right.
Like, why don't you tell me what you have now?
Right.
And I can tell you the best way to use it. Because I'll say it to them blue in my face. I said it before, is there's no point of spending hundreds and thousands of dollars of the top of the line things that some of these really big content creators have when A, you don't know how to use it, and B, you don't know how to implement it. Start off with a basic, build that foundation and then grow up from there. Because a lot I can tell you, for a lot of these content creators that everybody like know, they're like household names right now, they did not buy or start off with the best thing. They grew to that.
Right.
So, and Andrew said it before, like the most expensive piece of equipment that you have on you, that you carry around you daily, is your phone. And at this day and age, video quality of phones are amazing. Even if your phone can only record 720p, most people watch videos on YouTube at 720. Most streams on Twitch, on Mixer, and Facebook, they're at 720. So, you know, it's like, don't think like you have to have, you know, 1080 or 1440 with, you know, 60 frames or whatever it may be. 720 is still a great standard to start off with. And your phone can do that.
Absolutely.
Start off really big. Start off with what you have.
That's all I got. So if you guys have any question, comments, thoughts about that, you know, I'm just excited for just creating. I mean, it's been late nights of trying to find those moments, like learning a video editing program, right? So I've had to really get in a spot to do that, because who's going to do it, right? If I don't do it, who's going to do it? It has to get done, right? So I have to cut it. I have to schedule it out, you know, drop it around noon, 12:30, you know, lunchtime on all the platforms, do teasers, you know, do, you know, slight trailers here and there. Who's going to do it? I got to do it. And I almost didn't go. So here's the other side of it, right? I almost didn't go because I was nervous. I was like, what can I
do? You nervous? I was telling you before we started today, I was nervous. You're nervous?
Yeah. Of course I get nervous. Of course I get nervous, because, you know, nervous means you care. Nervous means you're alive. Okay. And you care, because if you didn't care, then it would just be whatever. So that feeling of, oh man, what's, you know, is that you know that you care about that moment that's getting ready to take place, right? But you have to push through that. You have to push through that. So it was great. It was great. And I think that that's the message that I want to share, you know, at this point, is if you see it and you go, I could do that, then we've done what we have to do. That's we've accomplished the goal. So
Words of wisdom at the ending of episode 496.
I'm done.
So if you guys got any Q&A, or we'll do the Q&A. We'll do the A part. If you guys got the Q part, we can get you the A. If you guys have any questions, let us know.
We're good. We're good to go.
We covered a lot today. We really did. You know what happens, though, soon? I get to see you in, like, 42 days. 6 weeks.
Yeah, we gotta talk.
You know, okay. It's always that tone. Somebody gives me that tone. We gotta talk. It's like, oh my goodness.
No, it's like, positive. It's positive like, stuff.
Oh, you're in trouble. That's that tone. You got that dad tone.
You're not in trouble.
You got that
you're
dad
not in trouble.
Tone over there.
No, you're not in trouble. Why would you be in trouble? You're like, you're perfect. Oh. We don't have any issues. Oh, so I'll throw this in there. The people that we're breaking up.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, because we haven't been as consistent and normal.
Yeah.
It's okay. If it creates that drama and they tune in, they're like, oh, what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah. They thought we were breaking up. Because I remember some individuals trying to duplicate what we had naturally over 5 years. They were trying to duplicate a relationship that didn't exist. They were looking for a female that was in the 30s that loved games, you know, around the same time you were coming on board. I remember that. Like it was yesterday. Well, anyway.
It was like 2 years ago. Anyway. 2 years.
Anyway.
2 years and a month.
But yeah, people that were breaking up. Streaming Nexus, I did see the host. Thank you so much for that. And everyone who hosted and hung out, followed, shared emotes and conversation. Those things are amazing. But yeah, people that were breaking up, I'd be like, dude, like, Daniela can go whenever she feels like going. I'm good.
It's that dynamic. I think that's what... Right, maybe, okay. Jealousy is probably not the right word, but it's the only word that's coming to my mind right now. Is that there's a few shows and a few podcasts and where it's definitely a blessing when you can be in the same time zone, get alone in the same place, be able to record. And I think that's like something that we navigate through on a daily, because there is right now, there's like a 6 hour difference. I mean, it's like midnight for you right now, whereas it's only 6 p.m. for me.
Right.
I have like, I think I have a dinner that I go to like after this. I'm going to meet up with a friend. I kind of actually honestly forgot about it. And I'm like, he's like, I got a text message just before we started. I'm like, so what are we doing tonight? I'm like, oh, right. Right. Yeah, I'm going to record my show. I'll let you know after.
Yikes.
So I even have a hard time navigating things with people I live with locally over around here. So for us, like, it's just an ever growing thing. No.
Absolutely.
We're still together.
We're still together.
We're here.
We're not breaking up. We're not breaking up. Relationship's great. We're great. But that's it. So episode 496, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen and all that good stuff. And I'm going to hand it over to Daniela.
Yeah, thank you, guys. You can follow us and check out all of our past shows and everything on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're everywhere. Find everything on our site from 496 and below. Away from 500 on the show radio.info. You can find Andrew on Twitter, Instagram, on Twitch at Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. And you can also find me on all of those things, all those social medias as well too, Miss DJM. To make things easier actually for people, we did implement a new little thing on top of our Twitter profile, streamerlinks.com/Uriah/MissDJM. You're gonna find all of our stuff there, all centrally located. Twitch, emails, podcasts, everything. All going to be in there. Thank you, Will, for that follow. Appreciate that. And until then, we'll see you guys on episode 497. You guys have a wonderful week.